Hello, everyone, and welcome to MITRE's Knowledge Driven Podcast, a show where I, your host, Cameron Bucer-Jamari, have the great fortune of interviewing brilliant minds across MITRE. Today, we are joined by the elegant, the simple, the energetic, but always on topic, Turtle. And Turtle, as you specifically told me, you wanted to be introduced as Turtle.
Yes.
That is the energy you bring. That sets, I love how it perfectly sets the person you are, the exact kind of energy and charisma and excitement. But these elements I'm describing right now, please give us your take. How do you introduce yourself when you say, hi, I'm Turtle?
Hi, I introduce myself as Turtle. And I usually say that just because I'm slow and lethargic. Mm-hmm. And that creates a laugh out of most folks as I run into the room with my hair on fire. but it's a good icebreaker, right? It kind of takes everyone out of their kung fu stance and allows you to, you know, lighten the atmosphere and try to focus on the things that I like focusing on, which is bringing some optimism and positivity to the room.
And the reason we wanted to have you in this room is because of exactly the work you do. You do many things at MITRE, but I think the best descriptor of what you do and the way that I have been informed to approach the topic is you are a mind changer. The unapologetic role of helping people take ideas that they probably would not want to approach or not want to change their way of thinking and help them see a better way.
Well, thank you. That's a heavy load there, because I see myself as trying to inform change through bringing a positive attitude, a positive approach to it. Mm-hmm. I try to eliminate as much negativity as I can from almost anything and everything, and provide new ways to tackle problems, because that's fun. That's getting outside your comfort zone into that magic area.
And so today on this episode of the Knowledge Driven Podcast, I wanted to explore what your journey was like starting at MITRE and becoming someone who fills this role, and how you typically help our sponsors or anyone you engage with see a better way.
Wow, that's interesting, because I would say my journey didn't start out this way. That's for sure. You know, I retired off active duty after 24 years in uniform. Mm-hmm. And I joined MITRE. And those first few months, it was interesting, because I was trying to really understand what MITRE was about, right? And although I had worked with MITRE throughout my military career, being on the inside of it was a little different. And I felt a lot of intimidation, because MITRE has a lot of rock stars, a lot of guys that swing for the fence their first time up the bat. And I was intimidated by their knowledge and depth. I was just a knuckle-dragging C-130 ops intel guy coming into this world of system engineering. But in that, I was very fortunate to be surrounded by great mentors. Mm-hmm. Some guys and gals who have left MITRE, like Drew Miller, mm-hmm. Who recently left MITRE, or guys like Patrice Isbell, who also left MITRE to do other things. But they kind of helped me understand what the value MITRE brings to bear. And it almost like I wanted to go tattoo an M on my chest, right? and I said, okay, I can do this. And I love the ability of MITRE to be kind of that honest broker. And then I took that all in. I drank all that Kool-Aid, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, I can be honest. I can be truthful. You know, well, everyone should be truthful, of course. Mm-hmm. But that ability to be honest and not be driven by profit, you know, just inspired me, right? Mm-hmm. To turn over rocks and look for ideas and concepts and, you know, start building that tool bag. You know, I had some decent tools from my time in uniform, but through MITRE, through just the MITRE Institute, pursuing a second master's degree in system engineering, I started upgrading those tools.
You just touched on a whole swath of things, I imagine, come together to make how you approach your work, because, yes, MITRE is a not-for-profit, so we don't always have that commercial interest driving us. And then also you pointed out you have an extensive background in education and also a lot of experience coming from your active duty role. So I see a lot of these things culminating together. So maybe at this point it's worth asking, when Turtle wants to go change minds, who are the minds you're trying to change, and what is your goal? What is the desired outcome?
Very interesting question. Actually, I went through while I was stationed supporting AFRICOM. One of the tech centers came in, and the organizational change management guys came in. Mm-hmm. We had the whole department come together, and this was fantastic. I loved when we did full department training. Mm-hmm. Because you got to share all your insights with the guys you also and gals you work with, mm-hmm. right? And it was like we're all together. It becomes a force multiplier when you're all taking training together.
And just to be clear, this is at MITRE or is this before you joined?
This was at MITRE.
Okay.
This was at MITRE. And that started to, you know, spark some interest in me of like, okay, how do you actually and do change, mm-hmm. right? And it's a lot of different things. It's not just in the military. It was usually because the commander said so. And we would just wait for that commander to leave. No, I'm just kidding. but no, so that kind of started the wheels of turning. And what I learned from there is like, you know, kind of building that coalition is just not leadership. You know, it's also that organization. It's that those also pieces where they need to, you know, you got to kind of get in the trenches because mm-hmm. those are the guys that need to mm-hmm. adopt it. So my approach is really, you know, sitting down with leaders, trying to shape where they want to go, but really sitting down with the guys who have to act it out, mm-hmm. the guys and gals that have to act it out, because that's where the rubber hits the road. And you have to, I feel you have to build this environment where they're not afraid of the change, right? And they're willing to champion it. You know, they go from naysayers to zealots.
And this, I feel like this is a good point to step back and just unpack everything you're saying, because you're talking about business process innovation, which is like that loaded corporate term we always like to throw around. But really what you're saying is you're trying to inspire change. And what you're pointing out is a lot of the times it's managers saying, this new thing is cool or good or whatever, and it will help us and we should do it. But your entire philosophy is we can't just have managers telling people to
exactly.
do that.
Exactly.
The people who have to do it are the people who should understand why this is the good thing.
Exactly. Let's say you run the wishbone offense at the mm-hmm. Air Force Academy, right? And you're running down the field and you throw that ball back. You want them to take it and keep running, mm-hmm. right? So you got to work on that backfield. You got to work on those that are below the management level, that are the doers of the work, mm-hmm. which and you know, I've been very fortunate throughout, to see my military career, I had some leaders that were very inspiring. And then they also, not only were they inspiring and setting vision, they also had some of their staff that could implement that vision. So, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where I see my niche is trying to be that optimist who tells them like, hey, yeah, I know the manager said this. I think this is what he means. And really, I think we can get there together, you know, and make it kind of a team sport.
And when you're starting those conversations, do you have to do any footwork ahead of time to figure out, like, I know it's like one thing to say, we're going to figure out what this company needs to change. But do you do the footwork to figure out who we need to change? Are you doing the work to figure out who are the people on the ground? Who are the actual names on this actual list I have to go talk to in person to convince them that this is something that is worth trying?
Yes. You know, so I think a lot of that is I do a lot of research. And I this is where I continue to kind of struggle because I don't want to have like analysis by paralysis or whatever that term goes, because I mess it up all the time because I'm scatterbrained. But I usually deep dive an organization. I get into, okay, who are the players in an organization? And this is something I learned in my time in the Pentagon. You know, there are A players, there are B players, and there are some minor league C players, mm-hmm. right? So I look for those guys who have ideas and then maybe just are unable to express them. You know, because those become your internal change agents. Mm-hmm. So I kind of do a study of the organization, understand what the organization is about, you know, and that kind of helps, you know, engaging with the manager. But it also really helps at the lower levels because you see the guys that are actually trying to do good things. And I think almost everyone is always trying to do something right, mm-hmm. right? You know, I give them the benefit of the doubt.
And once you find these people, how do you go about the next step of approaching them or getting in touch with do you go directly to them or do you prefer to have them come to you? Or
I cold call them.
Cold call?
I cold call them. I go by their desk. Mm-hmm. You know, I introduce myself and like as we start this conversation, hey, I'm Turtle. I'm slow and lethargic. And they go like, and that usually breaks down the ice, right? and then I look for opportunities. A great example. We ran a use case workshop with the sponsors. Mm-hmm. We used some techniques from the value proposition canvas. And we had this one sponsor, the first day of the workshop, it was a 3-day workshop. He just sat with his arms crossed and, you know, had that verbal, that, mm-hmm. that physical look like, I don't want to be here.
I'm here, but I'm not here.
I'm not here. Yes, exactly. But we got into this value proposition canvas where you get to talk about your pain. Mm-hmm. And he opened up. And then I saw that as an opportunity, right? Because he was passionate about something. He just needed to get his ideas out. And And that was the hook for me, because then I've had 3 or 4 follow-up conversations with that same individual, you know, further developing those pains and okay, like, what's the root cause of that? Okay, how can we address that? Well, tell me a little bit more about that. And then allowing that individual to talk, it just took down those barriers.
I appreciate the genuine interest in going out of your way. It's another thing where a lot of the times it is an expectation of we're going to inspire change by just saying we're going to do it. But you're saying that, like, the moment you decide that your organization wants to take on some sort of change, you need to go into the trenches. As I mentioned before, you want to be talking to them. But I admire that you, the attention on the individual level, knowing these people are open to doing the right thing and are open to this new idea. And this person who wants to do the right thing, but they don't agree that what you're trying to do is necessarily that way. And you trying to help bring them around. So again, what is that conversation like when someone walks in? And fortunately here, we have an excellent example. You got them to open up. Mm-hmm. Does it usually go? Are you usually that successful?
I don't bat 100. That's for sure. So, you know, there, and sometimes it takes a lot of work, and sometimes it takes a couple of, you know, weeks to get them to open up. And this is where I really rely on the MITRE Tech Centers, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll go to the organizational change management folks and go like, all right, guys, this is what I'm dealing with. But I kind of mm-hmm. do that. We talked about earlier about doing some of that early legwork. Mm-hmm. Before I call those guys in, I kind of test the waters and find out, you know, and then present to them, hey, this is what I'm working with. This is kind of where the sponsor is. This is what my assessment of where the people are. You know, what do you guys see as some of the best avenues of approach? And usually I bring in the pros from Dover to go after the senior guys because I'm a trench guy. Mm-hmm. You know, as we said earlier, I go down in the trenches and understand their environment. And then I'm kind of spoiled.
Okay.
I'm spoiled in the fact that, you know, throughout my military career, at least with this sponsor, I've been at every level. Mm-hmm. Right. So I've done almost every job. And at some point or another, probably not very well, or I'd still be in. But I've done almost every job. So I have a little bits and pieces, and I can relate to them. That's been the way that I opened that door. Did I answer your question?
No, that was a great way of saying, like, you have contacts. Like, it's nice. It's always important to do your homework and research. But when you have lived it firsthand and you have the context and this person's coming to you, and it's not just that you know that they're not opening up to you because they disagree. You know that they're not opening up because you have the context of knowing, when I was in this position, this is what it was like.
And then for those ones that I don't have the context, I reach into my Rolodex of turtle mm-hmm. and I call in my friends. I am very quick to call in the cavalry when I'm over my head, which is most of the time because mm-hmm. I kind of stretch myself. But I always whether in MITRE or outside of MITRE, I rely on a network of people to help bring things forward.
And so from that moment, that first moment of contact where you're like, I'm here to help you engage and change, to when you feel like your work is done, if you ever feel like your work is done, what are the steps along that road?
Well, man, should I admit that I don't think I've ever finished it?
I mean, that's a fair
thing. No, it's always still a work in progress. So I think, you know, how would I say that? How would I admit that I've done those steps in the process? So, you know, I kind of start with those engagements, and then I try to tell a story. Mm-hmm. Right. And this is something I've learned recently from other members of the MITRE team of, you know, how being able to tell a story. And then from like some of my closest coworkers now, trying to tell a story in simple graphics, okay. you know, and I build little story maps. And I go back to I hate PowerPoint, by the way, mm-hmm. hate it. I like hand drawing stuff and going back to the sponsor to have that discussion. So you kind of put a placemat down in front of them and says, hey, this is kind of what I captured of your story. What parts am I missing? You know, because I think it's important that I understand your story. And I think it's important that I should be able to tell your story to someone else, mm-hmm. you know, because now I'm building that coalition and that really draws them in like, those are my words. Those are my thoughts. Wait, I didn't. Yeah, that's how I said it. Or maybe I meant it this way. Can you? It's written in pencil. Let's arrange that story because I think it's important to tell that story and let it live.
It's not just change. It's compromise. Mm-hmm. You're saying you come in with a picture of how you understand what the specific change is to be, and you want to work with them to make sure that they know that, A, you guys are on the same page.
Yes.
You want to make sure that you have their best interest in mind, and B, maybe you didn't get it all right. You did your homework as best as you could, but we all mess up. Or
yes.
Even when we get all the facts that we know, that's not all the facts.
Yes. And they could change. You know, the whole concept behind waterfall engineering, where you knew all your requirements going in and you built to these specifications, you know, that hasn't proved to be very good for some things. Mm-hmm. And that's another way I approach the sponsor with, hey, this is a snapshot in time. Mm-hmm. You know, as one of my portfolio leads have said, truth has a daytime group. So this is a snapshot in time, and I let them know things can change because their priorities change.
Okay.
Right. And I try to get a consistent battle rhythm, especially when I'm working a task with mm-hmm. someone. And that's really, really challenging sometimes with some of our sponsors to get that battle rhythm with them and being able to adjust, because their superiors may send them high right. And if we want to be value added to them, then we need to respond to that and go high right with them.
How do you usually find the things you're going to help people change with?
Usually I'm brought in to support another team. You know, on a few occasions I've kind of led some efforts with certain sponsors, but and then in those instances where I'm leading efforts, I have a Rolodex of a great people, build a good bench. Because, you know, the rock stars are always busy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's always busy. So you build a good bench of people and you start that initial engagement, go find those folks to execute on them.
So I guess this all brings us full circle to, can you walk us through some of the examples of when you actually went in and there was someone who said, all right, Turtle, you're on deck. We need you to help us inspire change. What was that like?
A good example or a bad example?
I think both would be great. Like, what was the one where you got it there, but this was the time where nothing was going right? Or even if you didn't get it there.
Nothing was going right. I would say that would have to be when I first came into MITRE. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was, I think, my inexperience. Okay. And not really having a true grasp of all my options. There was a time I actually deployed into a hostile area, combat zone, for MITRE. That was different for me because that was my first time deploying out of uniform. And so I'm kind of like, oh, there's no weapon there. Oh, no. This is kind of scary. And we went in with really good intentions. And I think, you know, and we attempted to do some things. And I think we got caught in the middle of sponsors that were back here, CONUS, mm-hmm. and then the sponsors we were supporting directly forward. And there was a different understanding between those two. And then we were in the middle trying to serve both masters. Hindsight being 2020, we should have known it wasn't going to end well. At least the stuff we were working on. That I personally was working on. So I left there and I felt things were just not done. And then it kind of fell apart as personalities start to change.
And if you could have gone back and maybe talked to some version of your past self in this situation, do you think there's advice or guidance that you would give yourself that maybe it wouldn't have solved the problem, but at least help you have a better outcome?
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. And a lot of that deals with, I think, I would approach it a little different. I think I would have done kind of what we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. kind of walk the grounds and build that consensus up from the bottom, you know, and in those middle areas, because there were good intentions on both sides.
Right? Okay.
There were good intentions. Everybody was trying to do the best work that they could do. But I think I would have spent more time trying to build that consensus so you could have that adoption of the policies and procedures that were coming down. Instead of them feeling like they were being a victim or being pushed things that they had to do, if that makes sense.
I think that makes a lot of sense, just having those dialogues, having those open channels.
Yes.
It sounds like that's a big theme in all your work.
Yes.
So for anyone who's interested in learning more about systems engineering and the way you go about inspiring this kind of change, what kind of advice, what kind of resources might you send them to?
That's a really good question. So I think, yeah. Again, Turtle's been spoiled. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm always surrounded by rock stars. You know, the model-based system engineering path is just fantastic. I really enjoy my time with that. I enjoy the organizational change management classes offered by the MITRE Institute. And not just the learning I got from those classes, but through the MBSE Learning Path and the organization, I got names and points of contact,
okay,
you know, in those tech centers. And they go on the turtle Rolodex, mm-hmm. you know, and when they're not available, they usually have a slew of other people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think if I had to do over, I would have probably invested in trying to go to more classes here at MITRE, especially ones that introduce, that you're interested in. Like, I'm interested in model-based sensor engineering, so I was all in on that. If you're interested in something else, maybe it's Python or machine learning or AI, you know, go after, or cyber, go after those learning paths and sit in the front of the class, actively participate, because you're going to get out of that what you put into it.
And I feel like I should point out that MITRE Institute courses aren't unique to MITRE employees. As I understand, we have lots of opportunities where outside sponsors or individuals can sign up for these classes and come yes. take them either at MITRE, or MITRE will go to their site and present them.
Yes. And I think that is one of the beauties of things that we offer, mm-hmm. you know, especially if you're doing something for a sponsor, sometimes you have a situation where they may not have enough knowledge in it as well, mm-hmm. or they need an update, you know, so bringing them in and attending a MITRE Institute class with them. And this is an old, you know, back when I was on active duty, Air Combat Command had this great program where they would bring in the squadron commanders and their chief of intel, mm-hmm. and basically had intelligence 101 for their squadron commanders.
Okay.
With their intel guy sitting next to them.
Okay.
This just raised the bar. So you get that same kind of effect here at MITRE if you're doing a class on machine learning or artificial intelligence or, you know, cybersecurity, and your sponsor who's also working in that space, you can sit there and you can create that same shared understanding. Mm-hmm. And now you're laying the foundations to really, really impact change, right? Because everyone understands where they are. They understand they're good, they're bad, they're ugly, and they're able to move out from there.
I think that's an excellent note to end on, just because having that common language is always yes. so hard to achieve, especially when you're two separate organizations.
True.
Thank you to MITRE and the Knowledge Driven Enterprise for helping make this show possible. I definitely don't get to just do this for free. I'm definitely out here highly motivated to bring everyone these stories. And a huge thanks to you, Turtle, for taking time out of—
I appreciate it, my friend. This is fun.
Yeah, thank you for taking time out of your incredibly— I know it's a busy schedule. I tried to book you to come and talk to us about this subject. And yeah, just thank you for helping make change something that people look forward to.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.